6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am Jay Burkle, as always, alongside Matty Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. We're recording this late morning on Tuesday, and just since Monday morning, a whole host of things has happened.
Yes.
At Nebraska football. And so we no view from the bland stands this week. Evan is understandably very busy with National Signing Day on Wednesday and all the big news that we're about to talk about. But we figured we will go ahead and try to get you caught up on the latest for now. And it will all probably change in the next 24 to 48 hours. But just try to hang on for the ride for an exciting bowl game. Maybe excitedly scrolling Twitter for all the latest Husker news. You know what else you could be doing? You could be eating some certified Piedmontese beef.
Darn right.
That's what you could be doing. You could be buying some steaks online, cpbeef.com, using the promo code COMMONFAN, all one word, COMMONFAN, to get 25% off. You could be planning Christmas party where you'll be serving certified Piedmontese beef. You could be doing all sorts of things, all of which need to involve certified Piedmontese beef, premium Nebraska beef, raised and grazed in the beautiful Sand Hills region of the state. And guys, they have the best stuff. They have fantastic steaks. They have ground beef. They've got ribs. Mm. They've got roasts. They've got prime rib. They've got all the stuff, beef bacon, beef sausage, everything, all the beef, and they'll deliver it right to your front door. You cannot beat it. CPBeef.com, promo code Common Fan. Also get to your Mercado Butcher Shop in Lincoln or Omaha if you want to get an up close and personal look. Certified Piedmontese, powering the Husker football team and powering the Common Fan Podcast. Guys, let's get right to it. Just since yesterday morning, defensive coordinator Tony White is good and gone for good. He's out. He's going to Florida State. Terrence Knighton, defensive line coach, may be going with him to Florida State, but at least as of last night, it's been reported there was a staff meeting and all the assistants were there, including Pot Roast, Terrence Knighton. He probably loves certified Piedmontese beef, by the way.
Yeah.
So it's sort of officially been out there about White. It's not been out there about Knighton. There's just a ton of smoke about him maybe going to Florida State along with Tony White, but we don't know nobody knows the latest on that.
So
then you have, shut up, Jeff. Then you have, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I love you. This is a family friendly podcast. Don't say shut up, kids. Then you have Dana Holgorsen locked in 2-year contract as your offensive coordinator. So yesterday, the Tony White news hits. We get a couple of transfer portal announcements that were unexpected, which we'll talk about in a second. Husker fan base is reeling. Twitter was like a graveyard. And then boom, the Dana Holgorsen news hits. And then everybody's feeling a little bit better. And so Holgorsen is locked in. I think that's a hugely positive development for the coaching staff and for the Huskers and for the future. It's also come out since then, wide receivers coach Garrett McGuire will no longer be coaching wide receivers, but it sounds like he's going to stay with a role with the program, which I think is good.
Yeah.
He's a young guy. He resonates well with the players. We know that. It's just the performance wasn't quite there for the play on the field for the wide receivers. And so let him keep learning under Matt Rhule. Let him keep growing. And the thing is, there used to be a limit on assistant coaches. There's not a limit anymore. So he could still have an on-the-field role, maybe helping out in certain position groups or a position group, or maybe rotates into recruiting or something like that. So Garrett McGuire will still be with the program. And then it just broke today. I don't know how to pronounce it. Dykel Shorts. Mm-hmm. Dykel, we'll just call him Dykel Shorts, who was a wide receiver and wide receivers coach under Dana Holgorsen, most recently a wide receivers coach at the University of Kentucky, will be coming to coach the wide receivers at Nebraska. So that's the latest. I think we can expect more on the coaching staff, guys. The elephant in the room is what they do with special teams. I mean, there could be other changes as well. Obviously, they got to hire a defensive coordinator, but in terms of other changes that haven't been talked about yet, really curious to see what they're going to do on special teams. And if they're just going to run it back the same, or if they're going to make any changes.
That's the one thing.
They can't, right? Sorry, Jeff, I cut you off much earlier. I'm really
Ed Foley's got to be loving this right now. All this other news just popping up out there. He's just in the background, just peeking his head out around the corner. Okay, yeah, I still got a job. We're good. All right, I'm going to go back to work. We'll talk to you guys later.
You know who loved the Tony White news yesterday was Ed Foley and Handshake Gate.
Yes.
From
thank
the Iron
God.
Game.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
On from that.
Yep. Right.
So sick of that.
So then, guys, also... Shortly after the Tony White news, Jamari Butler, who had said less than a week earlier he was coming back for his last year at Nebraska, defensive lineman. I love Jamari Butler, by the way.
Yeah.
Defensive lineman announces it comes out he's going to the transfer portal. Mekhi Bayer, who was going to be a starting linebacker on next year's team, probably, or a significant contributor at the very least, he's going to the transfer portal. Couple other names, more kind of in the reserve realm for the most part. But the other notable one was today, guys, Danny Kalen, four-star quarterback out of Bellevue West, who stuck with his commitment to Nebraska even after they landed Raiola. Not hugely surprising. Maybe he said, hey, I'll give it a go, see if I can beat Dylan out for the job. Maybe he sees that's not going to happen. He wants a shot. You know, I don't blame the kid at all. But just it's unfortunate because it was a cool story. It was a good story. It was, you know, he stuck with his commitment. So
yeah, that one, I think that one wouldn't hurt to hear as much if he wasn't a Nebraska kid. Like if he was from out of state, it'd be like, okay. I think it just sucks a little more because, you know, he's out of Omaha and it's a feel good story, but
yeah,
it's too bad.
I think it's good and bad news because I feel like he wouldn't make that move if Dylan wasn't locked in and staying here type of thing. So you can look from both sides there. It sucks he's leaving, but it probably gives us a little bit more confidence that we don't have to worry about Dylan.
Yeah.
Sorry, common fans, a little bit of a technical difficulty there. I was just saying by the end of the day yesterday on, you know, after spending probably too much time on a work day on Husker Twitter, we made a joke about this from our Twitter account, but it just felt like when, you know, you've gotten together for the Christmas holidays with like aunts and uncles, and even once you become an adult, your siblings who maybe you don't see all the time like you used to, you're kind of together with extended family for, and it's been, you know, maybe half a day or four, you know, a few hours or something. And you realize you have several more days of this. And it's like, I love you people, but I'm really not sure I'm going to make it through this kind of thing.
Do this anymore.
I mean, it was just insanity all over the place. It was like, well, if he's gone, then this guy's probably gone. And everything's what's going on behind the scenes in the program and everything's falling apart. And it's sort of like the main point I want to make, guys, is like, this is college football in 2024.
Yep.
And it's not going back.
This is where we're at now.
Even at stable programs, coaches are going to leave every year. They're going to chase. Everybody's got money now. Everybody wants to spend money. So if you're succeeding, your coaches are going to get poached.
Yeah.
And if you're not succeeding, there's more pressure than ever to succeed. So you're going to be more likely to replace coaches than guys probably were in the past.
Sure.
And then with players on transfer portal stuff, you know, guys, this is just going to happen. I know we had the fewest amount of folks in the players in the transfer portal coming into the 2024 season. It's just not going to be the case every year.
Mm-hmm.
And in particular this year, we have to get down to 105 players on the roster for 2025, and we're up near 150. So we're going to have to shed guys no matter what. Even guys Coach Rule probably want to keep, we're going to have to shed. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, there's going to be the usual churn. And I would say one more thing, guys. Anybody who's repped the N, who's bled and sweat for this program, deserves our utmost respect. They're Huskers for life. Absolutely.
Yep. Sure. Yeah, 100%.
But, and this is not a shot. I think losing Jamari Butler stings. Losing Mekhi Bayer stings. Don't get me wrong. Like, I love those guys. I wish they were coming back. But in general, as more of this news is going to come out this week, we're talking about a 6-6 team that was 5-7 the year before that, that was 4-8 the year before that. Mm-hmm. If some guys go and we get some fresh blood in here, that's probably okay.
And yeah.
Yeah. I agree
exactly.
with you.
And we're not bad mouthing any guys, any players. Like, we're not doing that. We're not directed at anyone. We're not in that business. These are kids. No. But yes, 100%. I said this a few weeks ago. Not as eloquently as you, General, but you know, if it is, you respect those guys. You're proud that they represent our program. We know how hard they work, but as a fan, if they're not getting the job done, it really shouldn't bother us as much if they decide to go somewhere else.
Yep.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well put, man. I agree.
Yeah, I agree. And I was thinking, it was interesting. I was thinking today about the Frost era and how literally for most of the Frost era, I would come up with excuses. Well, if just this one guy or this other guy hadn't made this one mistake, then they would have won the game. So it's really, they're really, really close. But it's come out since then, like how he wasn't really detail oriented and how he wasn't, even Frost himself wasn't showing up on time for meetings or whatever. That ultimately shows up on the field.
Yeah.
I think Rule is really detail oriented, but it wouldn't surprise me if maybe he hasn't gotten everybody all the way there, right? In terms of doing the little things that we talked about on the last episode, doing every little thing right and like excellence. And the thing I thought about after we recorded last was Rule's quote, champions behave like champions before they're champions. That Rule, well, Rule borrowed that from John Wooden. Remember we talked about that last year?
Yeah.
I might have got that wrong. But basically the point is, maybe he's not all the way in getting the whole team there. And again, maybe infusing some fresh blood, either on the, and Tony White was fantastic, but you know, either on the coaching staff or among, you know, player per and or among players, isn't going to be the worst thing in the world. I just, part of it also is just probably 10 years of drama with Nebraska football. I'm just sort of out of, I can't really go back to that well many more times of just flipping out about things.
You know?
Like, I don't have it in me. But also, like, Tony White and Matt Rule showed up and flipped the defense like that. So now that culture is in place, maybe we're going to change the system. We're going to have a new coordinator, whatever. But Rule's always going to prioritize defense. I'm not that worried about the defense.
No. You remember, sorry, go ahead, Jeff.
No, the only thing I was going to say is I wasn't worried at all about that. And the reason for it was, you know, our defense in the past really hasn't been the big issue going back, you know, years. It's always been the offense that has kind of been our struggle in winning games and stepping up. And so the fact that Dana signed up for, you know, two more years, I'm willing to, you know, separate from Tony White in exchange for maybe seeing our offense take a step up now. I don't think our defense is going to regress. I think, you know, like you said, TJ, we've got that culture in place and hopefully now we can just sustain it. Now, maybe with this trade-off with Dana signing on, hopefully we're going to see some benefits now on both sides of the ball, not just we have a really good defense and our offense isn't just okay, so to speak. Maybe we'll actually be good at offense now. So,
And I've thought several times about when we talked to Gary Sharp last December.
Yeah,
almost a year ago, whatever. And he basically said that, you know, Matt Rule prioritizes toughness and defense. So as long as Matt Rule's here, we're going to be tough and we're going to have a pretty good defense. So I've been thinking about this the last 24 hours since hearing the Tony White news. And I think he's spot on. Like, I don't worry as much about, like, I wonder a little bit schematically if there was some disagreement or whatever it might be about, like, hey, you're playing this kind of, I saw some rumblings on that on Twitter. You don't know what you can believe on there, but, you know, quarters coverage versus more man and those kinds of things. And, you know, maybe bringing in Phil Snow might have kind of ruffled Tony's feathers a little bit, being like, hey, we're not the problem. Why are you bringing in a guy to look at the defense? I get bringing in somebody to look at the offense. Why are we looking at the defense? And, I'd understand that. I mean, you look at some of these games like UCLA, Wisconsin, USC, like we gave up a lot of yards. Like, I know that doesn't always translate to points, but if you're giving up a lot of yards, they're getting into scoring territory. They're getting into the red zone. And then you probably are giving up some points. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe rules like, let's be more attacking and not so much, because it really seems like occasionally we dial up a blitz or we get some pass rush, but it really seems like it's been more of a bend, don't break. Like, how many times did opposing teams get down in a scoring charge and we hold them to three, or we have a goal line stand? It's like maybe we could stop them before they get down there. And I'm not saying I love Tony White and what he did for our defense. He flipped, like you said, he flipped it like that. But it'd be nice where if we can stop somebody before they cross the 50 and get some better field position for our stud quarterback and our offense who had been struggling. So I don't know. Like, I'm disappointed to see Tony go, but there might be something there to where we want to, maybe we should do this differently or do that differently. And I don't know if Tony is the type of guy that'd be like, yeah, you're right. Like he said, we'll do whatever the head man wants us to do. That's, he's the head man, but maybe he wants a little bit more control over, hey, we're doing it the my way and we're doing this. So who knows?
Well, yeah, and Sam McEwen made the point in his article today, which I thought was a really good one. If they had gone 9-3 or had been a little bit better or a lot better, which like you could find three games they very well could have won right on the schedule. Tony White maybe well be leaving for a head coaching job, right? And
So
so go ahead, Jeff.
that begs the question, though, is I wanted to get your opinion on this too, both of you guys. So he's leaving for another coordinator position at Florida State, who arguably is not arguably, they're in way worse shape than the Huskers right now. Does that concern you that he would bail on Nebraska to go to a program like that and not stay here? I just think that that's one thing I think a lot of people are kind of scratching their heads about too.
I think he's going somewhere. They're probably giving him a few more hundred thousand a year, and he's looking at
Or
that, and
a
he's
couple million
looking.
more. Maybe that's
Yeah,
it too.
I mean, he was making what is 1.5 or something like that here. Like, they could be paying him $500,000 more dollars a year. I don't know, but the other thing about that is, that's one of the best places you can coach college football and have stud players right in your backyard, like fertile recruiting ground. Other than that, like. Right now, I'd say Nebraska is a better program, even though we've struggled for years and they were undefeated, what, like a season ago, and politicking for the CFP, and then they go 2-10. Like, I don't
Suing
know. You
people.
talk about trajectory, Nebraska's got a better trajectory than them right now, like as of today. But
Well, I think Jeff, like to answer, like I think Jeff will never, like there could be some dissatisfaction behind the scenes. Like no one would, most will probably never know, right? But you could also argue like they're probably going to throw him a bunch more money. And if he can flip, if he can say, look, I flipped Nebraska's defense, I've done it in the Big Ten, I flipped Florida State's defense, I've done it in the ACC, I've done it in sort of the South, then that's a really strong, he wants to be a head coach. He's been upfront about that. That's a pretty strong resume for eventually being a head coach. So it could be as simple as that. Like he's chasing, the next career move. And
You
who among
flip
us wouldn't do that, right?
Nebraska's D, and then you flip Florida State's D, and then it's like, okay, this guy really is a good head coach candidate somewhere at Power
And I,
Four.
back to the point we were talking about earlier, it's interesting, like even if you don't want Tony White to leave, or even if he's leaving under the best of circumstances, I think in this day and age, because there's such a carousel every year, it's still an opportunity. You can still say, well, what can we do better? Let's go get someone better. Like, and that's no knock on Tony White, but like, what else is out there? And also, like, there probably are, I feel like the offense is trending up with Holgorsen. And then you look at the Emmitt Johnson, Dante Dowdell, 1-2 punch. You look at Dylan Raiola in year two. Hopefully, we add a couple more playmakers at the wide receiver positions. But the improvement of the offensive line and just, the latter part of the season, all these things are promising for the offense going into next year. There are more concerns for the defense. Tons of veteran guys leaving because they're out of eligibility. Ty Robinson, Nash Hutmaker, John Bullock. Tommy Hill, Deshaun Singleton. I know I'm missing guys here, but so there are more question marks, but again, looking at it through a positive lens, I think it's possible a guy like Vincent Shavers overtakes Mekhi Bayer as a starting linebacker.
Yeah.
Like Willis McGahee was getting tons of time, right? So Riley Van Poppel and Kai Wallen and Prince William Umanmielen, like all these younger guys are going to be in their second and third years. And plus, again, portal, there's gonna be thousands of guys in the portal. So anybody who's leaving, we can replace, it's easier to replace them than ever. I hate to sound crass. It's easier to replace coaches and players than it's ever been.
Yeah.
And so again, all these things on the defense, there's a little more uncertainty, I think, than there was going into this year, but there's also like we said, given rules prioritizing of it, the young talent on the roster and the possibilities that come with the transfer portal, you know, I think it's entirely reasonable to be optimistic about the defense again.
Yeah. It kind of sucks. Like we've talked about this on our text thread with our buddies, the illustrious Pi High League. And, you know, a couple of guys have said they hate what college football is turning into because of that stuff. It's more mercenary type stuff, right? Like, you know, and as Husker fans, where we're used to guys coming in here and they're here for 3 or 4 or 5 years, and we feel like we develop a relationship with them, even though it's either through the TV screen or just us seeing them on the field. I think it's kind of weird for us, and I'm sure a lot of fan bases, for like some guy to come in and play for 1 year or play for 2 years and then leave and go transfer somewhere else. Like, we're not used to that here.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like the coaching thing. Like, and I thought we were past this point, you know, we're far enough away from this, but we're talking about a school where we had one of the greatest college football coach of all time who had assistants that were with him for 20 plus years. Like, in, you know, it's been, you know, 26, 7 years or whatever since T.O. retired. But, you know, a lot of us still remember that. Like, it was
that's still
Coach Darlington and
fans.
Coach Tenneper and Charlie McBride that were here forever. They never even thought about going somewhere else. And why would you, really? With you know what the status that Nebraska football was back then, but these players and coaches, it's going to be more of a revolving door, and that's just what it is now.
Yep.
And I'll tell you this, Rivalry Saturday wasn't affected at all by all this stuff. I mean, flag planting and brawls and God forbid people not shaking hands at the coin toss. I mean, that part of college football is still there. Like, I don't care, you know, how many guys are in and out of programs, like, that was intense and it was awesome.
Yeah.
So thank God, like, hopefully that can remain intact with these rivalries. And it's kind of on the coaches, I think, too, and administration at these schools to be like, hey, this is our rival. And I'm sure there's some of that, some educational stuff, but it's a weird time, man. It's a weird time.
It is. Geoff, were you going to say something there?
No.
Okay.
Good. Didn't want to hear from you anyway.
Watch your damn mouth.
I love you, Geoff. Love you.
Do you guys have a wish list of possible defensive coordinators or any names you've seen that would be exciting?
Mark Bo Pelini. No, I'm just kidding. Isn't his real first name Mark? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think it is.
No, that was suggested a few times on Twitter. I thought that was funny. You know, I was thinking about that. I think that we're going to see, I mean, obviously the obvious names that come up are like Phil Snow, since he came in to console like Holgorsen. I don't know that I would love promoting in-house, whether it's Butler or Dvoracek's probably. I don't know if he's, you know, we don't want somebody that's
he's
never
pretty young.
Coordinated defense.
Pretty young.
He's
yeah,
pretty
yeah.
young,
yeah.
Stud recruiter. Hope we can keep him.
Yeah.
I kind of like the idea of bringing in somebody pretty experienced that's already employed that maybe can bring a guy or two or three with him.
Yes.
Because I think that's how people like, I mean, look at Cignetti at Indiana. He brought how many guys from JMU and then they're awesome.
That's probably what Tony White is doing with a couple of these guys
right.
who are in the
Bayer
portal.
And
right?
Butler.
That could very well be.
And I thought I saw Steph Thompson was going too. So
he is too.
I mean,
he's
probably going with him too. So I would like to see him making an outside hire of somebody that's currently working. I don't know who the hell that would be. I'm not plugged in enough to know of a name or two.
The one thing I would say, I'll tell you, I don't want to talk about who I want to see. I want to tell you who I don't want to see the Nebraska Cornhuskers take a look at. And that's Alfred James Golden Jr.
Oh.
He's the defensive coordinator for the Fighting Irish. Nebraska, go ahead and just stay the hell away from him. He's not interested.
Al Golden? You mean the old Temple coach, Al Golden?
Yeah.
Well, so yeah,
The
John
failed
Butler.
Miami coach, Al Golden?
John
Stay
Butler.
the
Away
hell away
from.
from. No, that's the one thing I was going to say too. Like, I think you're going to see more guys that have head coaching experience going to be coordinators. Chip, like the Chip Kelly and a Dana Holgorsen. Like, if you're not, to me, if you're not in the Big Ten or the SEC, and the way things are kind of trending, like those are the two kind of main mega conferences right now, right? Like, guys
Yeah.
might say, hey, forget all the stuff that I have to do as a head coach. I'm going to go call plays on offense or defense
Well, yeah,
at
not to
one of the
mention
big boys.
the headaches of the transfer portal in modern day college football,
Yeah.
NIL.
You just want to
Yeah.
coach. All you want to do is coach football. Like,
Yeah.
you
Leave
probably
it to
don't
the
want to be
younger
a head
dudes.
coach. So that, I mean, that would be sweet if we could get somebody like, but that's the downside is like, you know, the odds of getting somebody like that was a head coach and is currently not working. I mean, you don't want to hire a guy that just got fired to coach your defense. I don't even know who that would be this year, but you know,
Yeah.
that's something I think you
So,
could see. I said that to my wife and son the other day, and they're both just like looking at me like, you are insane, like 1,000-yard stare, like, what are you talking about?
well, yeah. So Butler, the guys on staff that are being mentioned are John Butler, who defensive backs coach and was Bill O'Brien's defensive coordinator at Penn State. Rob Dvoracek, who's an up and comer, sort of in the profession, certainly for Nebraska staff. And then I feel like other names being mentioned, like nobody really knows. Nobody's like reporting this stuff as if it's fact. People are just speculating. So Phil Snow was with Matt Rhule at several stops as his defensive coordinator. He's pushing 70, so that's interesting. And he's an analyst in the NFL right now. Jim Leonard gets thrown around. I think all Husker fans would love that. Former Wisconsin defensive coordinator, who's now the defensive backs coach and pass game coordinator for the Denver Broncos. So, but again, like not, you know, those two guys wouldn't bring anybody with them because they're both in the NFL. I don't think anybody really knows. Jeff Collins, who's at North Carolina, is another name I saw out there. I don't know. Yeah. So we'll see. I tend to agree with you though. Even if it's a guy, I tend just even if they can't bring players with them because like a Jim Leonard is in the NFL, for instance. I would love to see us take a big swing at somebody, a big name that's out there. And I think what we've seen is Rhule. What I like about Rhule, again, year three, this is setting up for like high stakes year three, like we said in our last episode, guys. But what we've seen about Rhule is I feel like he's been at Nebraska for a couple of years. He sees like they left some wins on the table this year. Like and so I think he's seeing, and remember, he had been out of college football for several years when he was before he came to Nebraska. So all the NIL stuff and transfer portal stuff is new. So I can't remember who made this point, guys. And if one of you knows, please remind me, but it's not my original thought. But somebody made the point that like his first staff, maybe it was Evan, maybe it
I
was
think
Evan.
it.
His first staff was like when you set up an office in a new city. Like a company sets up an office in a new city, and the team that goes to get the office set up may not be the team that ultimately ends up running the office long term. And I thought that was a really interesting way to think about it. But I think Rhule is probably like he has a right combination of like he wants loyalty and he likes to coach with guys he knows and trusts. And I think we need to give him some credit. Everybody's like, oh, he hires his friends and Satterfield's terrible and Garrett McGuire's too young and whatever, whatever. Dvorak's been a phenomenal hire. Terrence Knighton was a phenomenal hire. Tony White was a phenomenal hire. None of those guys were the biggest names when Rhule hired them 2 years ago. So it's not quite as clear cut as people want to make it. But I do think he's reached this point of like, okay, I've got my feet under me now. I've been at Nebraska for 2 years. I mostly have the culture in place, but I cannot afford another year like this. I can't afford to have the offense stall out on me. Once conference play begins, I can't afford to have special teams fall apart on me. I wouldn't be, I mean, we're going to have to see a change in special teams. I'm sure of it. But all that is like, I just think that would lend itself to going and taking a big swing on a defensive coordinator. And again, I say, these are all men with jobs and families, and I want them all to do well. But again, I say, if that means a coordinator is going to bring in some of his own people and displace some other people, that's just the way it's going to have
So
to
be
be.
it.
Yeah. I mean, you see this, like, you know, the other thing is, like, you made such a great point, Matty, of we're just not used to this at Nebraska. But, like, Dion replaced some coordinators before he fired his he demoted or fired his offensive coordinator before last season was over. And suddenly they took a big leap this year. Now their schedule is like basically a group of five, a bunch of group of five teams, but still, like they took a leap. And so and Nick Saban used to hire big names and then they would work for him for a couple of years and then they would go get big jobs. This isn't that rare. It doesn't mean necessarily that's a sign of dysfunction. And even if it is a sign of dysfunction, once you get your new people in there, you move forward and you build, like you keep building. Like it's just nobody is able to do it like Tom Osborne used to do it anymore. And that's just the nature of the game. And that's okay, right? We have to, instead of thinking about how we wish it was like that, we have to get good at the new way of doing it, right? And again, I think there's a balance there. That doesn't mean you get 50 new players from the transfer portal every year. That's not going to work at Nebraska either, but you have to be comfortable with this, with some level of churn every year, because it's going to happen at the coaching staff and it's going to happen at the player level.
100%. So Husker, what you're saying is Husker Nation, quit bitching and moaning
Stop
and
worrying.
breathing into the brown paper bag. Like if, just because one guy leaves doesn't mean like you're not going to get somebody better.
At least wait until the dust settles. Like there's just constant news popping up on our phone for hours yesterday and into today. Why do yourself the disservice of just panicking? Just wait till it's all said and done. We'll deal with what's left over after that. Let's
Well,
free things go.
even Wednesday's National Signing Day, and kind of last night, within like a half hour, hour period, a bunch of current Nebraska commits were like posting like the
Like
eyeball emojis
cryptic
on Twitter,
emojis, yeah,
or
like
like the cryptic, like
fire. What is
something
this?
big just happened, and all the Husker accounts were like, "What's going on? Something. Everybody just must have just gotten some big news at the same time. What do they
Everyone, yeah,
know?"
going to the replies. It's like you got to tell us: is it a coach or is it a player? Like
Yeah, right. I think
multiple accounts: coach or player, coach or player, coach or player.
I think I saw that our buddy, friend of the program, Jim in Minnesota, said something along the lines that they're switching to Coke Memorial Stadium. We know
Well, I also like he also posted like a similar cryptic message, and somebody was like, "What do you know?" And he was like, "I just wanted to act like I was part of it," or something like
it.
that. Like I think people were doing that too. So we'll talk a little bit about National Signing Day here in a minute. Do you guys have any again, the bowl thing also I feel like is pure speculation because nobody really knows. But the main ones that keep popping up are the Music City Bowl in Nashville, which would be against an SEC team, the Pinstripe Bowl in New York, which I think would be against an ACC team.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Those are the two kind of, they seem to be the two kind of leading contenders. There's everybody does projections, ESPN and CBS and all these different folks do projections. You also see the Rate Bowl in Phoenix, which I think would also be against an SEC team, if I'm not mistaken, and the Duke's Mayo Bowl, which I think would be an ACC team. I think the Duke's Mayo Bowl I would hate. I don't know why. I don't know
Where is that
why.
at again? Is that the
Charlotte,
Charlotte?
Charlotte,
That's
Charlotte.
Yeah, and I
So
don't
that's
really
the
want
one.
Coach Rule to have to
That's
go
what I was
back
going
to
to say.
Charlotte.
Don't send him back home,
Oh,
back to
right.
his former stomping grounds. I think that would just be weird and awkward. Let's just cross that one off. We don't want that.
I also saw one that for it was a prediction for I would love to see us play like a former conference foe. So I would love to see like us play, you know. The one I saw that was intriguing to me was playing Missouri. I think it was Athlon, or no, it was Action Sports Network, said Missouri in the
In the
Music
Music
City
City
Bowl,
Bowl. Yeah,
which I
that
think that
would
would
be
be
cool.
sweet. ACC, like, well, I don't care. I don't care who we play. I just know we better win the damn game. I'd really like us to win the game.
I find myself, Matteo, it's funny, but I find myself saying, because there's been projections of us playing like Duke or Texas Tech, and I find myself saying like, eh, like, you know, like, so there's some projections that had us like Oklahoma or Missouri. Those would really get the blood boiling. Mostly, though, I want to win. And if
Yeah,
that means playing a
exactly.
lesser team, I can accept that. Like, if that means playing a, and I don't know, we're 6-6, so we're among the lesser bowl teams, let's be honest. But I just want to win. I want to have a winning record. It's pretty much meaningless, but 7-6 sounds so much better than 6-7. All the vibes will be better going into the offseason. And I just like, I want a game. So I would be really, if because Nebraska is a brand name and we travel well, we end up against some 9-3 SEC team in a game we're going to be overmatched in. That would be disappointing to me. I'd love to see how we match up, but I'm going to be disappointed if it's a game we're going to have a hard time winning.
Yeah.
I don't know. Teaser, I mean, it's just a gamble because I'm scared that if we play a lesser team and we don't win, still, I
Yeah,
would
I know,
rather be
right?
matched up
Nothing
against
is a
somebody
guarantee.
better.
You can't take
Damn it,
anything for
Jeff.
granted.
I'm just saying,
Damn
I would
you.
rather play a
Damn
better
you.
team and ch take that gamble because I'm here for the highs. All right. I want that high. I'm chasing that high. A big win, Hollywood. That's
You're
what I
a
want.
front runner.
Speaking of highs and lows, I'm not going to spend any time on this, but I just had a funny thought the other day. I'm still so angry about that stupid Iowa loss. And
We're turning the page, General.
I had this thought the other day that literally on my deathbed, hopefully many decades from now, I'm going to be surrounded by a loving family, sharing memories of a life well lived, and thinking about that damn 2024 loss to Iowa. We were
Parents,
the better team. Kids, get
Stratton.
the grandkids in here.
Yeah.
Let me tell them about
Would have
that
made
game.
Nebraska finish
Oh.
7-5. He's talking about it on his
Yeah. We
deathbed.
could have been
Mom,
7-5 that year.
it's Dad. He's awake. He's trying to
Oh,
say something. He's trying to say something.
God,
Stratton.
we're all sick. We're all sick. Okay, one more thing. Actually, before we get, we're going to talk about National Signing Day. I don't want to forget to do this though. We've been having like shout out to the common fans out there who are reaching out to us. A lot of folks have been emailing us, commonfangbr@gmail.com.
Yeah, we
Okay.
love the interaction. We really do.
Yes. Ryan Godin sent some thoughts. He's interacted with us on Twitter. He's emailed before. Sent some thoughts about the Tony White situation. You know, feels like, you know, maybe it's an opportunity to go out and get some, you know, respects White and likes White, but maybe it's an opportunity to go out and get somebody better. And talking about, hey, maybe this guy isn't falling after all. Kind of the point we were making about, you know, finding an improvement, even as much as people like Tony White. Kyle G, Husker Kyle reached out. We had Paul reached out, loves the show. He reached out on Black Friday to let us know that he had bought his Common Fan socks,
Get him.
sent a picture of him wearing the socks. He had one red one, one black one on. I guess
That's
for the bowl
awesome.
game you have to pick a color, Paul, because the two colors didn't the mixing and matching didn't
Is that
work. But
Uncle
not
Paul?
your fault, not your fault. What's that?
Is
No,
that
not
Uncle
Uncle
Paul?
Paul, not Uncle Paul.
Not Uncle
Different.
Paul.
Yep,
We've got
different
multiple
Paul.
Pauls. Let's go. Let's hear it for Paul.
Jeff E. Again, we don't really say people's last names unless we hear from them that that's okay. But Jeff E. Emailed also that he was going to be at the game. He sent us an email on Thanksgiving Day. So just love the interaction. Love hearing
So
from
do
you
I.
guys.
Keep them coming.
And
So
tweet
great.
interact with us on Twitter as well. Alan D. Alan's he came to the tailgate and he's been sending emails as well. So we love hearing from all of you. We try to, gosh, there's just been so much going on. We try to like actually read some of the emails and make them part of our conversations, but there's been so much other crap going on that we don't always have time to do that in the show. But please know we love hearing from you guys. We want to continue to hear from you. We want you to be part of the conversation. CommonFanGBR@gmail.com. And of course, you can find us on Twitter at CommonFanGBR. Yes, Jeffrey, you look like you have something to say.
It looks like you might want to check your text messages, but it looks like Prince Will is intending to enter the transfer portal.
Oh,
Oh,
that one hurts.
that hurts. That very much
We're into
hurts.
Sean
Yeah.
Callahan here. So.
Okay, we just gave everyone a lecture about not flipping out, but part of my belief there was that we were going to keep some of the core young players.
Yes.
Ah! All right. Well, hopefully that's not true. But again, if it is,
Remain calm.
the transfer portal giveth and the
All
transfer
is
portal taketh
well. Cue
away.
up the
All is
Kevin
well.
Bacon Animal House
Yeah.
getting trampled. All is
All is
well.
well.
All
All
is
is well.
well. All is well. Gonna
It's
figure
part
it
of
out.
the
Okay.
process.
Last thing, guys. Tomorrow is National Signing Day. It's the early National Signing Day, but it's really the December National Signing Day is pretty much the main one. We are not recruiting gurus. We'll try to have a friend of the program, Zach Carpenter, on soon to help us break it all
Yes.
down, or maybe BC. But just a couple of thoughts. So right now, Nebraska has the number 20 ranked recruiting class according to Rivals, and the number 22 ranked recruiting class according to the 247 composite ranking. Kind of the couple big things to watch that we like it's out there on Twitter a lot, right? Cortez Mills is a four-star wide receiver who's currently committed to Oklahoma. There's been a ton of sort of the recruiting experts predicting that he will flip to Nebraska, so that's one to watch. He did post on Instagram a picture of himself in an Oklahoma uniform yesterday. So there's a little bit of mixed signals there. And then Michael Terry, who's a five-star
yes,
kind
we
of
need to get
athlete,
that guy.
So to speak, wide receiver, he'd be an offensive player. Lot of smoke about him to Nebraska. Right now it's down to him and to Nebraska and Texas, I believe. So those are some major storylines to watch. And then last year also, I think a couple of the Miami guys, I'm thinking of Ja'Cory Barney. I'm thinking of Vincent Shavers. I might not have this totally right, but a couple of those guys were like day of flips that nobody saw coming. So it's always fun when you have, I don't know if we'll have those tomorrow or not, but it's always fun when you have sort of the unexpected either decision. Maybe they haven't made a decision yet, or maybe they're flipping to Nebraska. A couple of those guys flipped from Miami, if I recall correctly. So hopefully we have some flips out there as well. You know, again, I think the goal, I think I again, Nebraska had good enough players on the field to beat Ohio State this year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how good is Ohio State? They just lost to 6-5 Michigan. I don't know, but
I still think they're pretty damn good. It would not surprise me if they still won the whole damn thing.
Yeah, exactly. So point being, like, yes, talent always matters. The Jimmys and the Joes always matter. And so we always need to be bringing in talent. But I think as long as the Huskers are in that top 25 range with their recruiting classes, with the transfer portal now, that's where you make up the rest of the ground.
Yep.
Right. So if Rule, you know, we keep talking about Jalen Lloyd, who was a track guy out of Omaha who had basically zero, like one offer at like Division II level or something like that. Mm-hmm. And Rule found him and brought him in. Would love to see, I thought we were going to see more Jalen Lloyd in 2024.
Yeah, that's one.
I think the Holgorsen thing, though, is very promising mm-hmm. for Jalen sure. Lloyd's future at Nebraska. But I think Rule has shown, one, he can find guys like that. Two, he can develop them. And three, he's willing to play them early, right? And yep. so I think with that foundation, as long as we're in sort of the top 25 with our recruiting classes and we're continuing to develop guys, then, you know, we're going to, as we said, we're going to lose some guys to the portal, but the portal's always an opportunity. Yeah. And so that's where you make up the difference. And so
the portal taketh and the portal giveth.
Exactly.
Amen.
So anyway, it'll be fun to watch tomorrow. We're recording this midday, basically on a Tuesday. By tomorrow morning, there's probably going to be a ton more news, either guys hitting the portal, more coaching staff shakeups. Then tomorrow is going to be National Signing Day and all eyes are going to be on that. So it's just not going to stop this week. You know, continue to fill up the eggnog, do whatever you got to do to get through it.
Yeah.
Put on a happy face and talk to your, you know, don't put off that conversation with the strange uncle. Just talk to him.
I say embrace it. It's kind of, it's kind of
fun. Enjoy the ride.
Right?
Enjoy the
like, ride. Chili season's kind of fun, I think. It's like, okay, we lost this guy. Oh, yeah. Who are we going to get? We lost this coach. Who are we going to get?
Well, yeah.
And then it's just only a matter of time before we're doing the whole flight tracker thing again.
Exactly. Yeah. When the dust settles, if it ever settles, we'll have so much to talk about in the offseason because we're going to get some guys from the transfer portal. We're going to lose some guys. That's already happening. And we'll have new high school recruits to talk about. Hopefully we hit on a couple of these big name guys tomorrow. And there's going to be more shakeups in the we're going to have so much to talk about. And by April, we'll be at 10-2 by April, guys. Come on.
I'm already there.
We're going to see some promising things in the spring game and we're going to be off to the races.
Yeah.
Touché.
We're going to have a full summer of certified Piedmontese beef and playoff talk. That's what we're going to have.
Hells yes.
Yep.
All right. All right, again, no view from the bland stands this week. Common fans, probably our last episode of the week, unless something crazy happens again. But we're not going anywhere. We'll be back at you again next week, and we're just going
to keep
it
you.
Right on coming. We're going to keep it right on coming into the bowl game, past the bowl game, into the offseason. We never stop. Common fans never stop. So thanks for hanging with us, Common fans. Give yourself a Twitter break this week, Common fans. You know, you can check the news every now and then. Try to get some work done. Try to get your day job
there's
done.
No way. It's not going to happen, TJ.
I know.
Hey, I mean, we're going to be doing it too. I mean, we're going to be sucked in on the Twitter machine ourselves.
I'm saying that to myself as much as I'm saying it to anybody. By the way, hats off to anybody who had the Denver defense in fantasy last night.
TJ, didn't you have them?
I did have the Denver defense in fantasy last night. I literally was a quarter or two away from being eliminated from playoff contention for the season. And like going into the game, I needed 16 points to win.
No one cares.
And I'm Jeff, shut up. And all I have the other guys, shout out to Spence. Love you, buddy. Sorry. Other guys' team had already played everyone. And I'm like, so I need, and all I had was the Denver defense left. And I'm like, a defense, they're not going to get 16 points. That'd be very rare. And then as the game goes on, they got like 4 or 5 points in the third quarter. And then they get not one, but two pick sixes. I stopped watching. I stopped paying attention. And they get two pick sixes. I end up winning. Not only that, I vault from eighth to sixth. I'm in the playoffs. If the season ended today, we got one more regular season round. So shout out to anybody who had the Denver defense.
Did super you see happy. That there was a shakeup atop the standings too? Somebody, I'm there super was somebody, happy. Oh, is that right? somebody Man, was yeah. in first and they're not anymore.
I'm super happy for you guys. I'm glad that you won, TJ, you know, because everybody's actively rooting for the man that's been leading the pack all season. Yeah. You come at me. I don't care. I'm taking this thing this year. It's happening.
Jeff, I'm going to let you enjoy this because Geoff, for those who don't know,
it's a fantastic fantasy football player.
Consistently in last place. Like consistently.
No, that's not true. That is
the worst. In the bottom
the
three.
The worst.
Give him a little credit. He's usually in the bottom three.
Of the group. Bottom
that's
of
absurd.
Barrel.
That's absurd.
And this year, I don't know what, I don't know if he auto drafted or what, but he's been number one most of the season. So
yeah.
Geoff, I predict for you, and I love you, buddy, but this has opening round loss written all
well,
over.
You know what I
I'm
noticed,
sorry.
Owens?
I'm
you
sorry.
You know what I noticed? Was when things started going bad for me, it was when I made that trade with Owens. I made a trade with Owens, and all of a sudden things have just gone downhill since then.
What?
I'm one out of the last three.
What? It's like the Chris Farley coffee SNL coffee commercial.
Yeah.
What? What?
Hey, did he force you into it, Jeff? You didn't have to agree to the trade.
Yeah, you're right.
I had given up on it, Jeff. You're the one who sent me back a counteroffer. I just accepted it.
I felt like it was a good trade at the time. Now,
now J.K. Dobbins is out until possibly the whole rest of the regular season. So
how did Cortland Sutton do yesterday? I didn't even look.
Pretty damn good. Him and
Davey, we can talk about this off the air.
Davey and Joku got me the W last night.
Well, come to the Common Fan Podcast for all your Husker needs and stay for your fantasy football advice.
Nobody's listening anymore.
You don't want mine. You don't want mine.
Bob Uecker. Oh, no one's listening.
No one's listening anyway. All right,
congratulations,
Common fans.
TJ. Congratulations.
Thank you, Jeff. That means a lot. Thanks for hanging out with us, Common fans. We'll be back at you soon. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.
Months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.